are urging President Trump to reconsider his plan to levy tariffs on Chinese IT, telecommunications, and consumer products, which range from electronics to toys and apparel. Their letter says the retailers are extremely concerned about the negative impacts those tariffs could have, saying those impacts would hit America's working families with higher prices on basic household goods. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Kremlin is demanding that British officials either show proof that Russia was behind the near-lethal poisoning this month of a former spy and his daughter, or apologize. London officials, including Prime Minister Theresa May, have either directly accused the Russian government of orchestrating the poisoning attack on former double agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter in a British shopping district on March 4th. Moscow's statement came on the same day that the European Union condemned the poisoning. Russian officials also suggested the toxin used in the attack may have come from a British research laboratory located not far from the scene of the attack in Salisbury. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. Weather this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high near 46. North wind around 6 miles per hour. Tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 25. North wind around 7 miles per hour. A chance of snow tomorrow before 4 p.m. Then a chance of rain and snow. Cloudy with a high near 37. Northeast wind 9 to 13 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New snow accumulations of less than half an inch possible. Tuesday night, a chance of snow, mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Northeast wind 8 to 14 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 40%. New snow accumulation of less than 1 inch possible. Wednesday, snow likely before 3 p.m., then a chance of rain and snow. Cloudy with a high near 30. Northeast wind 13 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible. Wednesday night, a chance of rain and snow before 7 p.m., then a chance of snow between 7 p.m. and 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 29. Chance of precipitation is 30%. New precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. Not too many traffic jams going from the kitchen to the living room, so that works well. But what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family who has a mental illness, or they know someone, work with someone, next-door neighbor, good friends with, someone who has a mental health issue. And we try to help them in various ways. If they're the ones with the mental health issue, we try to get them the services that they need. If it's a family who has someone in their family, we do this numerous ways. We run a class, a 12-week course called Family to Family Class, where the people that have taken a course find out what it's like almost to be someone with a mental health issue. We go over the medications, side effects, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do in a certain circumstances. And like I said, it tries to get the person taking the course to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also run a support group the third Thursday of every month. And it's at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. And it's from 7 to 9 o'clock. And you don't have to register for the support group. You don't have to be a member of NAMI. You can just come. The classes you do have to register for because they're only allowed to have so many participants. But you don't have to pay. Everything is free. All the paraphernalia, the booklets and the paper and everything is free of charge. We do have a, if you need more information or anything, we can give you a phone number. And it's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man it 24/7, but there is a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you. Today we're very privileged to have with us, I know I'm going to probably screw up your names, but I'm going to try it anyway, Gina Davio.
That's right.
Oh, hey, I got one out of two.
Perfect.
And you're a resource development coordinator at Center for Educational Advancement, correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Mike Skojak?
Pretty darn good. I'll give you 1.9 out of 2.
Well, then how do you say it?
Skojak.
Skojak. Okay. I'm sorry, Mike. And you are the president and CEO of the Center for Educational Advancement. So I want to welcome you here and thank you for both for taking the time to come.
And thank you for having us.
And it's been a privilege having you. I really mean that because I think what you do is really great work. I know that you told me that CEA was started in 1970. Just briefly, how did it start, who started it, and what do you see changing over the years since initially started? Any one of you can jump in.
Well, in September 1970, we were chartered as a not-for-profit in Flemington. We were started by family members of individuals with disabilities, including folks with mental illness. The original data is kind of lost to the mists of time, but my understanding is that we started our workshop with three people. And it was in the back of a building on the other side of Flemington, closer to where the ShopRite is right now.
Okay.
And in 1973, we moved to our current location on Minneakening Road, which is exactly the opposite end of town, near BJ's right now, for your listeners who may not be familiar with us. And we've been there ever since. At that time, I believe we had 12 to 15 people working with us, folks who had a disability or had a mental illness issue or something else that prevented them from being regular members of the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't an awful lot of supports at the time from a state level. And so the families got banded together, formed this not-for-profit organization. We had some land granted to us from a couple of very generous individuals locally. And our buildings have been put in place there. They used to work on various and sundry assembly jobs for different industries. And that is something we continue to do today. And I can always add more if you wish. In 1984, we opened a school called the Spring Run School. And at its height, we had, I believe, 66 students.
Wow.
Okay. That was back in 1989. And times have changed.
Yeah.
But resources within the public school districts have gone significantly better. And inclusion classes are the watchword for the day. And it's better for the kids. It's better for their futures. And it's something we recognize. Our training programs remained on site and still remain on site for our folks with disabilities, and we employ right now 53 people with a disability as their employer in our packaging and in our food service programs.
Now, when you're Could you elaborate on the disabilities? Are you talking about physical disabilities, mental disabilities,
or the above? For the most part, it's developmental disabilities.
Okay.
There are some brain injury issues. There are some mental health issues, of course. A fair number of the folks who come to us for work or for evaluation and assessment on their working capabilities have multiple disabilities, and it ranges from autism to TBI.
What is the age of the people who are coming to your center?
For the work programs, they're out of school already, of course, so they'd be anywhere from 18 to, well, we had at one point a senior citizens program, so we actually had people well into their 80s. That program has since discontinued, but we've got folks who are in their 60s and early 70s and as young as 18, although the average age, I would say, is probably somewhere around 40.
Okay. Now, I know you have four basic groups, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Would you name them and briefly explain what they do and who they help?
Well, we have our employment readiness program, and that is essentially helping adults who have been primarily working in our sheltered workshop for sometimes multiple decades transition to community employment, and helping work with people who are needing a little bit more time to learn and develop the skills and habits for successful employment. In our in-house programs. That's primarily employment readiness. Our community employment program is also known as supported employment, and it includes community-based evaluations and assessments in host industries and businesses that allow us to work within the confines of their business to understand and assess a person's ability to work in that type of industry, possibly even in that specific business, although that's not the intent. The intent is to provide multiple areas for a person to explore different types of work in a real-time, real-life community setting. We have our commercial packaging business, which is primarily what the folks that we employ will work on, and that's we solicit work from a variety of employers, pardon me, of manufacturers, to work, rework, undo work, you know, salvage, if you will,
right.
A variety
right.
of products which require, you know, gross motor skills, fine motor skills, all sorts of working habits, because we have a very diverse skilled workforce, and they have inconsistent skills with each other, but together they can make some wonderful things happen for businesses. And then our final business, if you will, is the CEA school, which Gina had mentioned, is in South Hunterdon Regional High School. It is a self-contained private school within the public school district, and we bring in students. We currently have 18 students in that school. Some from South Hunterdon, some from as far away as Bridgewater and Phillipsburg. And we work with the kids. We provide them with their academics. We provide them with a transition service, which is to prepare them for employment outside of school once their academics are done. So it's mostly the 19, 20, approaching 21-year-olds. And they work in community businesses closer to Lambertville, but also including Flemington, of course.
Right.
And I think that's it. And then, of course, the fifth arm, if you will, is Gina, and that's our development resources development, you know, fundraising, grant writing, and community interactions, and making the community, such as your community here on the radio today, more aware of who we are and what we're doing.
Now, if you could go back to the warehouse working thing, if I'm not mistaken, years ago, my youngest son was there for a while. He suffers from mental health issues, and if I'm not mistaken, it was at the time. Well, he was, I think, loading trucks, you know, with the pallets and stuff. But there was a section where people were sitting on both sides of a table, and they had something to do with medicine. They were taking bottles of, well, I don't know what it was, but it was. I know, because when we went down to look at it, they were doing that. They were either changing the bottles or changing the title of the medication or something on it. So I thought that was pretty interesting, you know, that they could get people, you know, to do that, which you've got to be very precise. Loading the truck is one thing. You know, you put a wrong pallet on it, they can bring it back, you know. But when you're loading, you know, some kind of, either it was aspirin, I don't know.
Test kits or something like that. Assurance checks.
Right. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good little illustration of the kind of, in some ways, tedious work that is so important to be done right, and which is so easily done incorrectly.
Right.
We found, I go back to the varied skills of our workforce. Some folks are extremely detail-oriented and can do one or two specific tasks day in, day out, all day long. Others are particularly good at lifting heavy boxes and putting them on those pallets that may or may not get on the right truck.
We hope they get on the right truck.
And then we take them off. They don't know, but that's not the never an issue. We do have very good quality control checks and professionals in the field. So we do work with pharmaceutical companies, we work with food companies, and we work with HBA, the health and beauty aids industry too. We do not do any primary packaging, which kind of means we don't touch the drugs. We don't do the whatever goes in the tubes of cosmetics or personal care products. But we do the prep work for that. Mm-hmm. We do with the rearranging once the product is sealed. Pharmaceutical companies used to be our mainstay, and it's actually kind of important to think about how you interact with your medications and with your doctors and what you would get. That kind of illustrates why some of that business is slipping away from places like CEA and why we're becoming more community job-focused rather than in-house sheltered work employment-focused. The industry has shifted so that much of the mass production is done overseas. In China, in India, in Mexico, in Pennsylvania. It's not exactly overseas, but it's across the border.
It's across the border.
It's debatable.
It's cheaper to work, and it's also lower costs of manufacturing. The other thing is that much of, you might remember years ago, you'd go to the doctor and you'd get a pen or a ruler or some kind of tchotchke that had the name of the medication you were exploring on it to kind of remind you. And that particular business has gone away several years ago, to the point where it's now it doesn't exist. The tchotchkes don't exist. It's now information usually delivered electronically so that you can still remain aware of the interactions your medical product may have on you, but the work to rearrange those things is no longer available to our workforce.
Do you have resources in stores and stuff like that to help people maybe get work?
Well, yeah, we do. We have an amazing number of different businesses, individual business owners, and chains that allow our workers and the folks that come to us for employment readiness preparation, or for that matter, to help them find and keep their job, that work inside those businesses themselves throughout Middlesex, Somerset, and Hunterdon counties. May not have answered your question.
No, it does. No, I there's a couple I have in mind. I just you see people getting carts or bagging groceries or something like that. And a lot of times, it's wonderful to see people doing things like that, Go ahead.
I feel from what I have observed, they're very well taken care of. And you mentioned how certain people can do certain tasks. So you must... How do you evaluate who can do what best?
Well, it's usually trial and error. We have a job come in, we have a fairly reasonable idea of the skills that are required. We are the QC department for our customer, and we're also the last check of the products coming in and out. So in many ways, we have a very close working relationship with the customers that bring their products to our facility for work or rework. They teach us what they want. And then we teach the workers just like any other employer would.
Right.
And our QC department ensures that work is done to up to scratch. Now, sometimes getting the job done correctly is not necessarily getting it done on time. And on those occasions when a person is not able to keep up with the customer's demands, which are ever increasing, of course, time being money and all that, then perhaps a person might be put on for a short period of time so that they can earn a part of a paycheck for that day, but might be supplemented by someone who's a little faster. But generally, we found that as long as a job is repeated regularly or comes in continuously, which is an ideal, but it's a lovely thing to think about, everybody, as you might expect, gets better and gets more productive. And our customers' needs are always met.
Do they have job coaches once they get
inside CEA in the sheltered environment, if you will, we have full-time... professionals working with each group of our workers on each job, and that's the sort of our internal stable workforce. The external group, which is by far the largest part of our service delivery, I think we had about 162 people last year that we helped find a job in the three-county region that we work in, as opposed to the 57 to 53 that currently work at CEA. They have job coaches. They're in their community settings, and the coaches, it's not a charity job. You know, the jobs that these folks get with our help or sometimes without our help, these are productive jobs, and the coaches are there to help the employer interact with the employee to make sure the nuance and the communication is done correctly, and then eventually the job coach kind of fades away and becomes available 1, 2, or 3 hours a month rather than 1, 2, or 3 hours a day.
Sure. We're going to have to take a quick break. Gina, when we come back, don't get too comfortable because we're going to put you on the spotlight there. Okay? Perfect. All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hello, this is Mental Health Matters, and we're back with Gina Davio and Mike Skoczek, who at the Center for Educational Advancement.
That's why I let her do it, because
I think I got it right. Okay. Talk about your core values. You have 10 core values.
Can we hold off on that for just a second?
Okay. You want to go back to?
I want to go back and put Gina on the spotlight.
Come on, Gina.
All right. What does a resource development coordinator really do besides come on a radio?
You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. No, what I see myself as doing at CEA is I'm looking for opportunities. I'm looking for partnerships. I'm looking for funding. I'm really, you know, advocating for CEA and hopefully bringing, you know, more knowledge to what CEA has been doing since 1970s. So.
Right.
It's a little bit of everything when it comes to, you know, bringing in businesses and partnerships that will work for us and vice versa, and looking for funding, a little bit of grant writing. You know, we look for sponsors, of course, for our fundraisers. You know, everybody knows about the Turkey Trot, so. It's such a great event, and we definitely need our sponsors to be able to pull events like that off. So,
do you look for businesses to employ your clients?
Yes, we look for business partnerships that open those opportunities up for our clients. So, you know, hey, a job would be excellent. But we're also looking for those opportunities where a job coach or an employment specialist can take that individual to their business site and maybe do some assessments in a community setting.
Okay.
So that'll really, that's very beneficial to whoever we're serving to kind of understand, like, is this, you know, does my skill set work in this environment? Mm-hmm. Is this something, you know, I thought I wanted to do this, but is this something that I actually want to do?
I understand.
Yeah. So there's the assessment aspect of it. You know, there's, you know, yeah, so businesses definitely, you know, we have a lot of different business partners. Mm-hmm. Madalena's Cheesecakes and Caterers,
right,
to name
right.
one. I mean, they're awesome. They, you know, we've had people help on site in kind of in prep, but we also have had students that have worked, let's say, in a ShopRite, you know,
right.
Providing demos for those awesome cheesecakes.
Yeah.
What is the main source of your funding?
The main source of our funding? Let's see. I mean, we...
Do you get any federal funds?
Well, there's the main source of contractual funding is for fee-for-services for our extended employment okay. program, which are the folks that that we work with as our employees in, mm-hmm. on site. That is through the State Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, which is part of the Department of Labor. Most of those funds are federally sourced, and then they're mandated as to how they're spent on the state level. And it's, you know, to provide services such as ours, helping people find work, finding the assessment tool that suits them best to understand what they might best work at, mm-hmm. and then helping them keep the job. So state dollars come in, federal dollars come in. They are funneled, if you will, through the Department of Labor from that perspective.
Donations.
Donations, of course. That's a that's right. an ever-increasingly needful source of revenues.
NAMI knows all about that.
Yeah, nothing like being a not-for-profit, right? Another significant source, which is actually represents the true not-for-profit part of our business, is the costs for providing academic and transition services to students. Mm-hmm. Again, we have a number of different businesses, as we alluded to before, that each kind of none of them stand alone. We, you know, one fails, they all fail. One succeeds, well, they all succeed, hopefully.
Right.
But the school is required by law to not be a for-profit or to lose money. So so that is a source of revenue. It's a source of widened impact in the communities because we reach so many different aged students from a wide number of communities, and so that's big, and it's likely to get bigger with the opening of our second school in July.
Tell us about that. Where is that going to be?
That's
going to
be in Pequannock Township,
which is what county?
It's in it's in northern Morris County.
Northern Morris,
it's on the edge of Essex, Passaic, Morris. It's close to Butler, if you're, or north of Wayne, if you will.
Right.
It's another what I would consider a fairly enlightened school district in that they are welcoming of the concept of inclusive classes with folks with disabilities from any background, and they have the room. We have the desire to work with them. They would like to work with us, and in some respects, it opens up a new area for us to. Have an impact
sure.
on a lot of families. It's a more populated section of New Jersey than Hunterdon is. And we're also not in competition with ourselves. You know, South Hunterdon High School's CEA school will not be competing, if you will, to get the student that Pequannock will.
Right.
So we're looking to broaden our depth and reach.
Now, you mentioned that the school is inclusive. Who is in your classrooms then?
Well,
how does that work?
Students with IEPs would be appropriate for any of our two schools.
Mm-hmm.
If they have any particular needs that do not allow them to interact with their school district, they are likely to come to a private school such as CEA's.
Okay.
Once in our school, we will work with them on the academic end of things, and as their skill level and their speed level of learning increases, we are seeking to get them mainstreamed within the host district as quickly as we can, where possible. And that's, again, entirely up to the host district's guidelines and willingness to allow that to happen. We have most of our students are participating in the gym classes. Certainly, the inclusiveness is the shared school, common school environment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Same corridors, same lockers, same playing field, same cafeteria. Okay. And then we slowly start bringing people into different classes as mm-hmm. we're able to.
How many students approximately do you have at the CEA school?
Right now we have exactly 18.
18. And is that a pretty constant number over the years?
That is a number we've achieved, I guess, back in early January, late December. Mm-hmm. It was the ideal number. In fact, it's one more than the ideal number, to be honest. Okay. But the idea is to have a small school. We don't want to get too large. We also want to be managing our resources and managing the impact on the students. And the ability for us to actually have 18 instead of the original 16 or 17 is because a fair number of these young adults are old enough to not need the academic instruction. They need a lot of help or a lot of interactive transition work. So they're working in community job settings and trying out different types of employment for their future consideration.
Now, is someone eligible for your school at age 14, or what's your youngest age?
The beauty of South Hunterdon is that it is a self-contained middle and high school in one building, one address. Right. So our school can actually work with middle and high school, which we are currently doing.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. I interrupted you before about the core values. Yeah.
I guess we're on core values.
Yeah. So why don't you want to do it?
Okay. I guess we would like you to expand a little bit on these 10 core values. There's quite
either a sentence or two. It doesn't have to be.
Maybe I should just read them all first.
Why don't you just read
one
at a time
and pull them together
and see which kind of resonates most with you. I have here respect, self-determination, effectiveness, do the right thing, best practices, social responsibilities, inclusion, outstanding service, and embrace change.
Well, we used to be self-contained in Flemington, and we are now in three counties, and we're working more and more in more diverse and ever-expanding communities. So we're getting a little more inclusive. The inclusion classes that we have referred to in the school, of course, and the inclusion of community-based assessments rather than sort of isolated, controlled assessments for people's mm-hmm. abilities to know what they can do work-wise is a very strong driving force in what we do and also a major factor in our success in the last couple of few years, too. Doing the right thing. Let's not hide people. Let's get them in the communities and let's work with the communities to educate the general population, the average store owner, rather than sort of having that, you know, sheltered environment, which is, it's safe, if you will, but it's not necessarily real life. And what we're trying to do is bring as many people as possible to work in their communities rather than bring them to our community and trying to find work for them. Right. And you know, the self-respect and the whole idea of doing the right thing really kind of is embodied right there, is become inclusive and let people become vibrant parts of their communities rather than important parts of ours.
Do you find that some of the clients you have, how do I word it, rather be alone than with a group of people?
Oh, sure. I'm one of them, too. I rather like being alone. No, but you know, the group of folks we work with, both at CEA in Flemington and at the wider group of businesses we work within and communities we work within, it's a microcosm of society. There's the gregarious, there's the isolationist, there's the shy, the outgoing. You know, we have every possible kind of person you can imagine, just like any other community, if you will.
Could you talk a little bit about self-determination? What do you mean by that?
Well, we don't tell the individual what they should do or how they... Well, mm-hmm. we may have to tell them how to do it if they're doing a job for one of our customers. But a person chooses to work in or to participate in the programs. No one's saying there's no mandate that you have to come to us or work with us. If a person decides they prefer a different coach, they can get a different coach. If they'd like to work in a different place, that's entirely their business. And where possible, we will, of course, try to accommodate. And if not, there may be a different agency that could do a different job better than us.
So they take more ownership of their future by... Is that kind of what you mean by
self-determination? That's essentially it, yes. Okay. You know, there's no mandate to work with a particular person in a particular way. There's... Through our vocational rehabilitation folks at DVR in Trenton and our referring county agencies and ourselves, it's a constant series of meetings to assess how a person wants to proceed, okay, rather than saying this is how you must proceed.
Understand.
And your social responsibilities, you're trying to get them to interact with people? Or?
Oh, absolutely. If you're, the whole idea is to work in and within, in all way of looking at it, the communities that they are working in and coming from.
And it also helps as they get older. You know, if they're younger, mm-hmm, early teen or late teens, early 20s, and so on and so forth, and if they can get social responsibility to, you know, it helps in their later life.
Well, there's that in a generality, but at the same time, there's if you're working, if you're making some money, you are able to interact more in your community on your free time. You're developing a social awareness and camaraderie with your coworkers.
Right.
You're learning how to communicate with people you work with, people you work for, and people who your customers might be, depending again on the job you have.
Right. Right.
And your self confidence is up if you can recognize how to work with and the types of communications that are common in society. You're then part of that society, which is really the way it should be.
I wonder, maybe, Gina, you have the answer to this. Can you tell us about some businesses that have been longtime supporters? You mentioned Magdalena's. For anyone who's listening from outside our area, they're primarily involved with cheesecakes. What else?
Well, there's another local business that has really worked very closely and with CEA for a long time now, is Independence Manor.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with them, but you know, they have also provided a lot of opportunities for our students. Again, same type of situation, just a different setting.
And Independence Manor is an assisted living facility.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I think we're going to have to take another quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Mental Health Matters.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We've been discussing the Center for Educational Advancement with Gina Davio. And I'm gonna screw your name up, Mike.
Shut up. Mike's good.
What's the last name?
Skocek.
Skocek. Okay, I should remember that. But anyway, we were talking before about some of the core values and so on and so forth. And you have I get old, man. My train of thought went out the window. We were talking about packaging or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, that was really one of the main things that started CEA back in the mists of time in the 1970s was, you know, seeking contract packaging opportunities for people to work in-house. And that's a business that continues today. Over the years, you know, customers have come and gone and business needs have changed and what have you. But there are some local customers to the Hunterdon community that are stalwarts in our packaging business. And I can refer to a few of them. You know, our friends from ShopRite, of course. We've done their newsletters for decades and prepared those out. We work with our friends at Joanna Foods, doing a variety of different types of variety packs, if you will, of different mm-hmm. juice products for some mm-hmm. of the customers they have and some of their own products. Roche Molecular, just up the road on 202. I guess they're in Somerset, but they're close enough. We assemble medical kits for them. And again, each of these types of jobs has a different skill needs in order to accomplish successfully. Each of these companies, and I could probably go on for half an hour and some other ones, are also solid supporters of our events and have been in some cases going back to the 1980s and 1990s.
Right.
As we change what we do and how we try to fundraise to, you know, stay in business, if you will, this becomes ever more important. And so knowing that there's a community interest and understanding in helping us provide work for those who can't go out and find work, having work for those who can and allowing right. job coaches to come in and help them help people find and keep jobs, but also supporting financially some of our events either through directly financially or through you know, gifts in kind, as some do, it's also very important. And I think it's a great way to talk about maybe some of our events. What do you think, Gina?
I think so.
Jump on it, Gina.
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike mentioned Joanna Foods. I mean, they have, I don't know how many, they are the Turkey Trot event sponsors. So it's the CEA Joanna Foods Turkey Trot, the title sponsor.
Yeah, the title sponsor.
What is the Turkey Trot?
Oh, my gosh.
We round up a bunch of old birds.
No, I kind of know. It's a race, isn't it?
So,
on Thanksgiving?
This past November, was our actually our 25th anniversary. Turkey Trot, it was a great milestone for us. You know, this is, it's a family event. It's our largest fundraiser. It's a fun run, if you will. But, I mean, there are some serious folks. And then there's also some folks that come out in costume and et cetera with props. But this is definitely CEA's largest fundraiser of the year. And, yep, you guessed it. It happens on Thanksgiving Day right here in Flemington. Somehow we fit about 6,000 participants on that morning. It's a great opportunity for volunteers to connect with CEA and help out that morning, or, you know, they throw mm-hmm. the bird in and do the turkey trot and get back, and somehow everything's magically ready to go. You know, they feel
the turkey cooks itself while you're out, right?
The self-baited basis. Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that come together to make that happen. So, like we were saying, a lot of different levels of sponsorship happen, and that have really, you know, like Joanna Foods, Farmers Insurance of Flemington, you know, like the Parker Agency. It's right. amazing, like, how many businesses really come together to help us pull this event off. And
so tell us about some upcoming events. Do you have anything in the near future?
Well, the next fundraiser is actually in September, the second Monday of September, which I believe is the 10th. And that is our golf classic that takes place at
Stanton Ridge.
Country Club.
Right.
Yeah. And that, that, I don't know, we always have amazing weather on that day. That is a great opportunity for a lot of, again, all benefiting programs at CEA, but, you know, it's a great opportunity for different businesses to also come together, get a little competitive on the golf field, but also a lot of great networking opportunities come from that with the businesses that participate.
The I know you're always looking for new business partnerships.
Always, right? Always.
And within Hunterdon, Somerset, Middlesex,
for sure.
And I would assume probably any county if you could do it.
Well, there are some limitations in order to perform the job assessment and the
right.
job acquisition and
right.
maintenance services. We have to be registered to work in specific counties by the Department of Labor.
Okay.
And Middlesex, Somerset, and Hunterdon are the counties that we are currently
okay.
able to operate in. We do have plans to expand as our school opens up in Northern Morris. We'd love to move into Morris County and
mm-hmm.
provide the same level and quality of service we're providing to the citizens of central New Jersey right now
right.
into a more northerly aspect too.
So if you get business partners, would you speak to that and how it's beneficial to your clients?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, it's, you know, the opportunities that we are looking for are really based on kind of like each individual's interest. You know, there's a range. You know, some people prefer an office setting. Someone might prefer to be in hospitality, you know, or just really, it varies. So, or retail, sorry, I was forgetting that word. But the opportunities that we're looking for, we're looking at the end of the tunnel, we're looking for employment placement.
Right.
But, I mean, like I said earlier, we're looking for an opportunity where maybe someone can go in one-on-one and observe that individual who's coming in to see what they're good at or to give them that opportunity to sample different jobs, to just really help and narrow down where their greatest success might be or what environments will work best for that individual. Is this something that I really
okay.
like? Is this something, you know, I thought I would like this, but there's too many people asking me too many different questions. I'm not sure I want to be in that setting anymore. You know, maybe let's try this. Or it's really tailored to what that individual's capabilities are and interests as well.
In a way, I guess it's kind of like the self-determination aspect, too. Is, you know, one job or one employment opportunity does not fit all. You know, everyone has different needs, wants, desires, and skills that they can apply in different settings and under different circumstances. So, yeah, as Gina said, you know, if it's a business partner that's able to provide a place that will be regularly hiring folks, we'd love to speak to them. If it's a place that is doesn't need to hire anybody or infrequently anyway, but would be willing to allow somebody to try and experience what it's like to work in that type of store, that's absolutely fantastic too.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a manufacturer or a creator of some other products, if rather than bringing in temporary help and working on something in-house, if they could send it to us and we can help people keep and maintain and potentially even develop skills to help them get into a community setting and out of our workshop, if you will, we'd love to see some work coming in too. It'll be done well. It'll be done to whatever quality standards the individual company needs. And it's giving someone a chance to not only earn a paycheck but also to experience maybe a new job that might spark them into thinking, maybe I can do this somewhere else, not just here.
Right.
So there's a huge variety of virtually anything and everything we'd like to allow the community to participate in as we help people find employment.
All right, I got a question I wanted to ask earlier, but because I'm old, I forget, and it goes out of my head. But and it just came back. How do you get your clients? Are they recommended? Are they... does the school recommend them?
Well,
the parents?
The adults that are out of school are generally referred to us for one of several of our programs from the Department of Labor to Vocational Rehabilitation.
Okay.
And an individual would go to the DVR office, which our county is also Somerset County's office, so that'd be in Somerville, and request help seeking a job or seeking an assessment on what kind of job would work for them. The DVR office would then take a look at, you know, not only where the person is from, but what kind of transportation issues they may be facing. And CEA, we're lucky enough to have a number of programs that have been actually nationally approved and also obviously state approved for assessment, for seeking employment, and for maintaining employment. We're one of the few in the region that provides a fairly wide range of services and programs. We get most of our referrals from them, and then the individual would spend anywhere from 6 to 25 days to get to understand where they could fit in and to see if we can help them find the next step on their path to career community employment.
Okay.
Some now, individuals do come in on their own, but they're usually referred back to DVR.
Okay. When you get an individual client, do you screen that person?
Well, there was an intake process. And,
okay. That's what I mean.
It's paperwork. Okay. But it's also, you know, individual discovery. It's you know, hi, I'm so-and-so. Who are you? And we get to know each, you know, our counselors and coaches and program specialists would get to know the individual. And there's very few times that we don't have the ability to work with them. But if we don't, for whatever reason, we may not have the right resource, then we'll certainly be straightforward and say this won't work. But our friends at DVR, they know what services we have and the levels of competency that our staff bring. And so it's very little guessing going on. You know, they know what they can guarantee of getting from us.
Right. I also know that you're hiring job coaches. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We've got about 20 coaches now, up from 2 3 years ago. And I'm looking to get a few more in. There's a great need.
What qualifications would a job coach need to have to be good?
The most skilled job coach or employment specialist would need to have a bachelor's degree in a human services field, you know, psychology, sociology, anything that deals with the public or deals with individuals as individuals, not as a science, right. And also at least 1 year of specific coaching or similar type related experience. That would be the ideal. Certainly, if a person's got the degree and doesn't have the coaching, we can bring the person on as a junior level, if you will, coach, and get them certified through various programs to get the credentials that say job coach, and then the time to spend actually doing the coaching, so they can reach that upper level. The lower, if you will, doesn't require a bachelor's. It does require certification from one of the state approved agencies that provide the training. Okay. And then again, 1, 2, or more years of actual job coaching. And the reason being, coaching is one thing to work with an individual and understand the job they're supposed to be doing based on the employer's needs. The higher level is also an assessor, if you will. And there's a lot of feedback to try. Well, you're not able to do that this way. Let's modify the job. Let's see if we can find an adaptation that will allow you to do the job that you say you'd like to do, and then we'll figure out if you can do it under certain circumstances.
Right.
There's a lot more, you know, judgment, a lot more communication, and a lot more feedback that is required.
Okay, and the last, what do we got? A couple minutes left.
Is
there anything you want to talk about that we didn't cover?
Well, the only thing that really comes to mind is an exciting new program called Pre-Employment Transition Services, and you'd... one of you, I forget which now, had asked, are we federally funded or state funded?
Right.
This is a grant program that will be starting in April.
Okay.
And it is pre-employment, as pretty much exactly as it says. It's not to help someone find a job for someone or to help someone discover their job opportunities. It's to work with kids in school to understand the different options that could be available to them. And once they decide, or once they're old enough to get into the "I want to get a job" phase of life, so it's the pre-employment. You know, what are you experiential? And again, this is kind of a shout out to the business community. We're going to be having groups of teenagers with close supervision, of course, coming out, and we're looking for host businesses to allow a group of 3, 4, or 5 with the appropriate chaperoning to observe, interact, maybe ask questions, and see what different jobs require. So that before they get to "I want to get a part-time job," they know kind of which way they want to look for that job.
Right.
This is all pre-employment. It is a federally funded grant administered by the vocational rehabilitation folks in Trenton. It's a one-year program, and I'm anticipating 4 groups of 10 students, give or take, between now and the end of March of 2019. And with any luck, this will wind up being a longer-range program so that we can provide a continuum of services.
I think that would be awesome.
Getting ready to retire.
Yeah.
I really think that would be awesome.
It's just one more step that says, find out what your capabilities could be and what your wants and needs might be, and let's help you develop them when you're young, not when you've gotten out of school and then you're trying to figure things out then. Sometimes that's too late.
Yeah. Right. Kind of to prevent any sort of gap, you know?
Right.
So you're still, do you have any specific locations lined up yet? I know you said April. Or are you still in the process of lining up?
The first group will be actually based out of South Hunterdon Regional High School. We're using after school hours, as the base, and I'm anticipating several of the CEA school students and probably some from South to be in our first group. Of course, the program is open to all students within reach of my voice, if you will, as long as they have an IEP and DVR has recommended them.
Okay.
Independence Manor was brought up. We have not yet approached them. This is only new this past week. But we will be looking to see if perhaps we can't convince the management over there to allow a small group of students come in once a week and observe, ask questions, and interact, and learn what you know some of the assisted living community needs are, to maybe spark an interest.
If someone wanted some more information, is there a way to get in touch with you? Phone number, Facebook, website, whatever.
All of the above.
Okay.
What are they?
So it's CEA-NJ.org.
Okay.
The phone number,
is 908, of course. 782-1480, 1480. That will get you to our switchboard, and you can always leave a message. If you're looking for Gina, she's extension 222. I'm at extension 246. But leave a message in general mailbox, and someone will certainly get back to you on that.
And we have a CEA page on Facebook as well.
Oh, okay.
Come on down and visit us, 11 Minneakening Road in beautiful downtown Flemington, which is actually part of Riverton Township.
It sure is.
It's a confusing part of the state.
Right.
And if you truly cannot find us any other way, come on out on Thanksgiving morning, and I'll be the one screaming and yelling at people from the park right behind the old courthouse here on Main Street, Flemington.
Well, I can't thank you guys enough for being here and taking the time out of your schedule to come. We really appreciate it, and
thank you.
Keep up the good work.
A pleasure, and thank you for the opportunity to come out and speak to the public.
Thank you. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll see you again next week. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Police in Austin, Texas, are carefully going through a neighborhood the day after the city's fourth bombing this month.
We have seen similarities in the device that exploded here last night and the other three devices that have exploded in Austin.
The one that went off last night, injuring two people, was triggered differently than the previous bombs, according to Austin Police Chief Brian Manley.
The belief that we are now dealing with someone who's using tripwires shows a higher level of sophistication, a higher level of skill.
The three earlier devices were doorstep package bombs that caused two deaths. This woman who lives near the explosion that happened last night says people are on edge and are taking precautions.
It's a real situation now. It's not, you know, oh, don't touch any packages. It's like, no, seriously, like if you see anything weird and, you know, stressing it to your children.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over 50,000 people get their life back. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple call to 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. That's 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. We are open 24/7 and all calls are confidential and free. Call now. 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com.
an update on a key Republican senator who's been battling cancer. Here's USA's Chris Barnes.
Republican Senator John McCain remains in Arizona, where he's been since December following a diagnosis of brain cancer. But his daughter, Megan McCain, says she's cautiously optimistic her father will return to Capitol Hill sometime this coming summer. In recent days, Megan McCain's been posting photos of herself with her father, including one of the senator beside her, smiling broadly with a blue baseball cap on. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
In Kentucky, four people have been injured after two trains collided and derailed. Correspondent Scott Carr.
Those living near the scene in Georgetown, Kentucky, just north of Lexington, were evacuated out of an abundance of caution because something spilled after the collision that apparently began burning. The fire has been extinguished. What spilled from the train has not been confirmed. But officials say once they determined there was no safety risk, they allowed residents to return home.
This is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you.